classes, if they're the wrong prescription, don't help us see each other, see the things in the world the way we need to see.
So we need to see each other with eyes of faith. We need to see each other the way God sees us.
So you need to get the prescription of faith for your marriage. Put it on and see each other with eyes of faith.
Eyes of faith.
The Power of Faith, Part 1.
In this session, we're going to talk about the power of faith. And the amazing thing about it is the way God put this course together is, you know, we've just gone through forgiveness. So people get a lot of things cleaned up. So guess what? When you get stuff cleaned up, you've got to fill it up. This session is all about filling it up and seeing as God sees. And it's called the power of faith.
Amen. So I'd like to start out by asking you a question. When you look in the mirror, how do you see yourself? When you look at your spouse, what do you see? Do you look at them with the same eyes of love that you did when you got married? Or how do you view these things? So have you ever stopped to think about how God sees you and how God sees your spouse? It may be very, very different from what you're seeing right now. 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." King David, and that's what he's referring to there, when he was very young, was just this shepherd boy. He was just out on the hill tending the sheep all of the time. God came to Samuel the prophet and told him to go to his father's house and anoint the next king of Israel. So Samuel the prophet went. Well, Jesse has all these neat sons.
And Samuel, strong and ruddy. Huh?
Yes, and Samuel kept looking at them, and the Lord said, "No, it's none of those." And so he looked at Jesse and he said, "Do you have any other sons?" And he said, "Well, there's a little boy out in the field tending the sheep." And he said, "Go get him." And the moment Samuel saw him, he said, "That's him. That's the next king." So Psalm 139, and I want you to think about yourself when you hear these verses and receive what it's saying. Starting at verse 13, it says, "For you," meaning God, "formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Do you look at yourself that way? "Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed, and in your book they were all written for me, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand." That verse really spoke to me. It was about 4 years ago. We were sitting on a beach. We had gone on vacation. David is like a fish, and he's out swimming everywhere, and I'm sitting on the beach and just spending time with the Lord. And I love the sand, and it's just beautiful, and it's so soft. And everywhere I could look on the beach, all I could see was sand. And I picked some of it up, and the Lord reminded me of Psalm 139. "His thoughts toward me are more numerous than the sand." Think about that for a moment. How many beaches are there in the world? How many deserts with sand? How much sand is there in the world? I mean, I've got like a half a bowl here. What do I have? Maybe a million little tiny pieces of sand? God, that's how much you love all of us, that you're thinking about us all that often with wonderful, loving thoughts. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord." Not plans for evil, but plans for a future and for a hope. Isn't that a wonderful promise? And that's our promise, because God's word is the truth. I really want you to hear this. It's very important. No child is ever a mistake. None. And there is no life that is not without purpose. Not people do things, life events happen, circumstances happen, and it affects our life. And so we really ask that you receive this vision to hear what God has to say for you.
The enemy can use people and circumstances to rob us of the beauty of God's design for us.
I want to tell you for a moment about the story of Gideon. You can read about it in chapter 6 of Judges. It's just amazing. But I want to share it with you because it's very personal to me. Here's Gideon, and he's in a wine press, down in a wine press, grinding grain so that they can have food. They always normally did that was up on the side of a hill. So as they would grind it, the wind would blow the chaff away and you'd be left with the pure grain. And the reason he was doing that is because marauders would always come in. They would steal everything from them. Well, he's down here because he's afraid and he's a coward. And so the angel of the Lord, capital A, comes and stands over the wine press and says, "O mighty man of valor." Now, if you didn't know God better, you'd think he was making fun of him. I mean, come on, this guy's hardly a mighty man of valor. You'd think God was making fun of him, but he wasn't. God was saying, "Gideon, this is how I see you. This is who I created you to be, a mighty man of valor." And so Gideon goes through all of his excuses. "Oh, you don't understand. See, I come from this little family in this little town, and they're kind of the least of the families. We're the least of the tribes. I'm the least of my family. I mean, we're just the least of the least." But even as he was doing that, he had a choice to make. Am I going to continue to look at myself in the mirror the way I always have and the way people told me I was, or just what I grew up thinking, or am I going to become what God intended me to be? When I was in first and second grade in this tiny little farm town back then, they don't do that now, they would have first and second grade in the same room, third and fourth grade in another room. And so when I had my very first adventure out into the world from home and went to school, I had the same teacher for first and second grade. She hated me from the very first day of school, hated me. And I went through 2 years as this tiny little child being told I was bad, I was horrible, I was stupid, I was dumb, I would never amount to anything. She physically abused me, verbally abused me, put me down in front of everybody and in the classroom all the time. So when I first read about Gideon, I went, "Lord, that's me. That's me." But God said, "Well, I'm going to give you a choice like I gave Gideon. Do you want to continue to agree with all of that, or you want to agree with me and become the person I created you to be?" And I'm so thankful that I decided to agree with God. I'm so thankful that I decided to agree with Him.
You can change the circumstances of your life by choosing to agree with God.
I got to tell the rest of the story for you. The rest of the story is this. She decided she was going to forgive this teacher. I mean, this teacher's probably died a long time ago. She was old when Sherry had her in first and second grade. So she forgave her
as an act of her will.
And then it was not too long after that that we finally got revelation on why she is so mean to Sherry. Because back then when Sherry was young, back in those days, I guess you could say, Sherry was left-handed. And people believed that if you wrote with the left hand, it was of the devil. She's trying to beat the devil out of Sherry is what she's trying to do. It was pretty amazing.
But it was because of walking through forgiveness that God gave us that revelation
amazing.
And blessed us with that.
Yeah, it was amazing.
So the enemy, he also has a plan and a vision for us. He wants to destroy every person and every marriage. Remember what we've been saying from the beginning of this course in these different sessions. God's a covenant-making, covenant-keeping God. Our marriage is supposed to be that mirror picture of that. Ephesians 5:32 tells us that. And so God has this awesome plan for both of us and how He sees us and our marriage. And the enemy hates it. He's out to destroy it. He doesn't like that. So our life together can end up either agreeing with our past or how we view things, or we can choose to agree with God. David grew up in a very stoical atmosphere. For those of you who don't know what that word means, it means without emotion.
I thought it was a great virtue until I looked it up.
So David stuffed everything inside and took it out through using the drugs and drinking that he did years ago. So when we got married, we'd both been affected by the enemy's plan.
When Jesus went to the cross, He died for each one of us. And so when we enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ, we're able to see how God sees us. That means you need to spend a little time with Him. with yourself and with your spouse.
God created us, and we need to learn who He says we are.
Jeremiah 29:11. You got to get these scriptures in your heart. The first one is, "For I know the thoughts that you think toward me, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." All right. Psalm 84:11. "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give you grace and glory. No good thing will He withhold from those who walk uprightly."
Share with each other something you see as part of God's design in the other one. Do you see what your spouse sees about you? The Power of Faith, Part 2.
Now, last night I was up, Sherry went to bed, and this is the amazing thing about this ministry. We've been doing it 28 years, for crying out loud. I'm sitting there studying, and God gives me new revelation. Sherry's got some powerful vision for me. You're going to hear about it here in a little bit. She's always talked to me about, why don't you accept that?
Own it.
Yeah, exactly.
Own it.
Last night when we were studying, I realized I can believe for everybody else, but I can't believe for myself. And I realized last night that the enemy's lying. He's a liar. Because that's why I have not accepted it, but it's mighty. Amen. It's mighty. So this is the key. God's got a vision for your marriage. The key is you're in relationship with Jesus. Then as you spend time with Him, He's going to show you.
Give up what you want in your spouse and get God to show you His vision instead.
I struggled with this session for a couple times, you know, several times actually. I wanted a fresh faith vision for Sherry. And in the past, I'll talk about what I did here in a little bit. But this time I fasted and I prayed and I asked God to show me how He saw Sherry. As I sat there and prayed and lifted the whole thing up to Him, He gave me several scriptures. And the first two talked about death. And I thought, what is this all about? God speaks to me real simple. And the way He did it back then was He'd write it in my head, because I was so naive as a Christian, I'd have to look up in the front and see where the chapter is, you know, and turn to the page. That's how I used to do it. And he wrote this scripture in my head, and I looked at it and I said, what's this have to do? Yeah, I'm asking the Lord for a vision for my wife, and it's talking about death. So I knew it was from the Lord. I know how to hear from Him, and I knew this was from the Lord. So I sat there and pondered it, and all of a sudden, you know how God does. He just drops it in on you, and you see the whole picture. And I realized that before I came into a relationship with Jesus, I had a death vision for our marriage and for my wife. Everything that came out of my mouth was, I'm out of here, I'm done, I'm over, I'm getting a divorce, this is it. So you see, how can I get a vision of life when I've proclaimed out of my mouth a vision of death? So, well, like we said, all through these sessions here, what do you do when you see this? You confess it, you repent of it, and you ask forgiveness of it. So then I started to pray, and I said, Lord, I know you got a vision of life for my honey. And so He took me to Colossians 3:14. And it says, above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection.
And because of all of the abuse I'd gone through as a child and growing up in kind of a shy family, I was very shy. I wouldn't step out and do anything. I would never put myself in a position to maybe be questioned or put down or made fun of or anything. I just wanted to fade into the background. And so I developed this life pattern of perfection. Well, if I just do everything perfect, then I won't have anybody put me down.
And the way she expected me to be perfect.
So I'm like, don't put that on me again. I'm trying not to be perfect anymore. And when I went and looked it up and read it in the Greek it says, not perfectionism, the way I was looking, sir, do it with excellence. Whatever you do, do it with excellence. And I said, yes, Lord, thank you for this vision because I can serve you with excellence. That's not the same thing as having to be perfect.
You know, and the other verse in 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in the hearts to the Lord. And I think you've seen a little bit of how my wife is. She's a lover of the word. She knows this Bible, and she's a storyteller of the Bible. That's what got me to say, I want more, because she'd tell these stories to the kids and I'd listen.
God knows your spouse better than you do. Seek him for his original design.
So let's talk for a minute about faith, because whoa, where we came from, that was going to take faith. Absolutely. Hebrews 11:1, a lot of us know this scripture, says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You may be thinking, wow, we're quite a mess. How do we change that? What do we do? Well, substance means this is the ultimate reality. And evidence is something that gives you proof of it. That's what faith is all about. It isn't faith in David. It's not faith in me. I know I can do this. It's faith in God. So having faith in the Lord also requires that you have vision. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Think about that, because we see so many couples that are perishing and their marriages are perishing because they don't have a vision to see how God sees them. God wants to bring life, not death.
Faith is substance and evidence.
So please hear me. This is a very important part of this lesson. It's not my vision. It's not how I see David. It's how God sees David. The first thing that God ever told me about David, I said, God, how do you see David? And this is 28 years ago. God led me to some Psalms and he said, his name is not an accident. And he just flooded me with all the Psalms and how God said David was a man after his own heart. And David could always express his emotions and his feelings, and he could share what he thought and how he felt, which was just the opposite of how David had been raised. And I thought, oh Lord, you are just
Without
so
emotion.
Amazing and wonderful.
You know, so you need to get this vision for your spouse. It is exciting, you know, and if you're not quite there yet, you got to understand this is the word of God. And so his word does not return void, correct? So you can pick out a scripture. And I've done that. I've done that about four times for Sherry.
Many years ago.
Before I got this other one I just shared with you. And it's good. And she said, thanks, honey. But she knew that I didn't spend time with God and that I just kind of picked it out. And it God's word is good. Absolutely. But I wanted God's vision for her. So I, you know, exhort you. And again, exhort means to urge earnestly to spend time with the Lord. If you've got to fast, if you've got to spend time with him, sit down and ask him to show you, and he will. I had gotten to a point where, you know, we'd been serving in the ministry for quite a few years. I was getting, I don't even know what the right word is, kind of resentment because Sherry knew a lot more than I did. Yeah. And I, after all, you know, I am the man and I should be able to, you know, hold my own here. But I felt a little resentment about the whole thing. And I realized, you know, if you think back, okay, woman was taken from man, so the two are one flesh, both of us, to complete and make one, to be one flesh, okay, what's wrong with this picture if I feel resentment here? And so I started asking the Lord. He says, you need a new faith vision for your wife. So this time when I sat down to pray, God did a whole different thing. So this is the exciting thing. It doesn't necessarily always have to be a vision. I mean, a scripture. It can be a vision. This time I shut my eyes and God gave me a vision. He said, this is how I see your wife. And you know what it was? It was a picture of the Statue of Liberty. He says, that's how I see her. And I started to look. You know, I pulled out the Statue of Liberty and I started looking. You know, she's got a light to the world. That's my honey. She's got a Bible in one hand. That's my honey. Standing on the rock of Jesus. That's my honey. powerful, but at the same time, I can walk side by side with a woman like that. You know, I'll come in and we grow in this. You know, I'll come in and say, well, what's your take on this one, honey? What's the Holy Spirit showing you on this? We're growing in the Lord, you know. We're working together in this whole thing because I've received what God showed me, how he sees her.
And the important part for me is that just cemented.
Oh, absolutely.
Changing my mind, renewing my mind in the Lord, and healing my heart. It just was absolutely amazing. I knew it was God. And God says, well, okay, Gideon, are you going to own it? And I was like, oh my goodness, Lord. And I said, yes, Lord, I received that. And it was like it washed away any residue of any of that old stuff. And so I wanted to share about the second thing that the Lord told me about David. He said, Lord, you know, I just am so blessed by what you've shown me and how to pray over David. Do you have anything else to say? And the Lord immediately spoke to me and he said, he's a Joshua. I said, wow, okay, Lord, where's the scripture do you want to give me for that? And Lord gave me Joshua. First, he gave me chapter 1, verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. And in verse 8 and 9, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And I started praying that for David. I didn't go to him for some reason. I didn't go to him right away. I just kind of hugged it in my heart and started praying it and saying, this is an amazing vision, Lord. 2 weeks later, we were speaking at a conference. And the night before the conference, there was a meeting and they had a prayer team that prayed over everyone speaking at the conference. And when the people on the prayer team came up to pray for us, this one lady looked at him and she went, oh my goodness, the Lord just spoke to me and said, you're a Joshua. It was such an exciting confirmation. And so I started praying those scriptures over David. I still pray them to this day. I've seen them come to pass. I wrote them down. I put David's name in my Bible and I would pray God's word out over him and see that come to pass.
When we begin to see each other the way God sees us, our marriage is powerfully transformed. Take a few minutes together now and share if God has shown you something about each other. The Power of Faith, Part 3.
And so we need to speak as God is speaking. John 15:7, it says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. But the key there is remaining in him. Our children learn how to talk from listening to us, don't they? You know, and so we spend time with our Father and we listen to his heart and we'll speak what he speaks. I remember when our children first learned words, we were so excited. I'd say, Mama, and then they'd go, Mama, and we'd get so excited. Can you imagine how excited God is when we start speaking out what he says in agreement with him about us and about our marriage? It's the same thing. Yeah. He wants us to speak that out about our spouse, our marriage, our children, our family, and we're made in his image. So we should learn how to talk from him. We go around way too often agreeing with the world. Oh, this is never going to happen. That's never going to change. Oh, it's just the same all the time. That's just the way it goes. And that's not how God views things. It's not from God.
Is God's word your native language?
Our Bible is God's word. It's not just some book. Revere it as God's word. It's full of God's power. In Isaiah 55:11, this is an amplified, it says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without any effect or useless, but shall accomplish that for which I please and purpose, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. You can depend on that. You can say, God, I believe that. I agree with that, that's what you said about David as being a Joshua, or what you have to say about our marriage. And every time we speak what God says about ourselves or a spouse, and we ask him to lead us, we're going to be filled with faith and wonder. We get filled with faith and wonder at what God's going to do. And so in 2 Corinthians, we need to know faith is the evidence of what we haven't seen happen yet. So in 2 Corinthians 4:18, we do not look on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So when you look at God's plan, it may not be what you're seeing right now in the natural, but the real truth is what God is saying. And like David said, in the beginning when God gave me that scripture about Joshua, David was hungry for God and he really wanted to grow with God. But I was doing more of the leading because I had known the Lord for a long time when David came into relationship with him. And so it was a growing thing for me to move from that and to pray in faith and believe and stand with God and see it come to pass. And so that's how wonderful God is. And so when we came into this ministry, we had to grow and we had a lot of healing to do. God said to us one day, you are going to be a well of living water for people to come and drink from. And I didn't even know what to do with that. That was just amazing and overwhelming
to me.
There's
a one flesh vision right there.
Exactly.
Another point that is very important is you have to see what you speak. Now, God reveals his vision, but if you're lacking in faith, you need to renew your mind. You know, and what really helped me catch this concept, the founders of our ministry, Michael and Marilyn Phillips, have a small booklet called First Aid to Wounded Marriage.
Powerful.
Marilyn shared, God had shown her how to see Michael. And one night he came home angry. And I remember
so
making that comment in the book about, well, that's not my Michael. And I got it. I got it. I said, that's how I have to be. I need to be able to see what is spoken. And, you know, like the vision for you, I really got that in my heart. And now I'm going to, from last night, accept what God has given you for me.
No matter how big your vision is, God has something bigger for you.
God's vision is huge, you know, and you got to get on board with it. You know, forget what you think. Forget what you think ought to be. You know, forget what you think she ought to be. You want to be what God wants you to be. So
Amen.
You need to have a bigger vision. You know what I'm saying? You've got to open up and allow God to just give you the big picture. And he will give you the big picture. Sherry says a lot of times for her, it's kind of like a IMAX theater screen, you know. And that's what God has for you. He's got a huge vision for you. Romans 10:17 tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Stay in his word. We need to study his word. We need to walk in that faith. Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. When your heart believes, your mouth confesses it and speaks it out, and pretty soon you see what is spoken out. 1 Corinthians 2:5, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That's what you need to believe.
And so as we seek God's vision and God's plan for our spouse, for our marriage, for our family, for everything that he's wanting to show us, we have to remember it might not be visible right now. We may not be seeing it at this moment. But we need to focus on what is not yet seen. When God gave me that vision and said his name is not an accident, I'm like, oh boy, that's a big vision, you know. How do you feel today, David? I'm fine. What do you think about that? That's good. It was a real faith vision. And I would go find Psalms where David would just pour out his heart before God and talk about how he felt and share, you know, where he was at with things. And I saw God open David's heart, so that he wanted to walk in the fullness of that and let go of that old loner thing that and that old stoical thing that didn't matter anymore because it wasn't who God had made him to be.
Let me share a little bit about that stoic thing. We're doing one of the lessons one night, and he says, well, how has your family always spoken out? And I can remember back to my grandma's house, you know, and you remember the old pictures where they used to take it, you know, where the camera, you know, you had to wait a long
time.
Everybody
would go.
Those were the pictures that were on my grandma's wall. Everybody, you know, when you get together at Christmas, well, those Carters, they're stoic people. We're looking for
wonderful
virtues in the family. So I thought, well, I'm going to share this virtue with everybody. But I said, you know, I was really prompted to go get a dictionary first. And like Sherry said,
good thing.
I was amazed when I got the dictionary, without emotion. I thought, oh, I get this now. I really get it. Sorry about that.
God said, and it came about. God said, and it was created. And that's exactly how we have to view this.
Amen.
When Jesus came and walked on the earth, he did the same. He spoke and blind people saw. He spoke and lame people walked. He spoke and dead people came back to life. And he can do that for dead hearts where we feel we've been so wounded or lost, and dead marriages. He's still doing that today. And so the more we speak out what God's word says and what God gives us, the revelation is going to become even more alive, and we're going to start seeing it come about in the natural.
God has to speak things to be created. We also must speak in agreement with him to see his will come to pass.
And so believing what God says doesn't mean we're ignoring our circumstances. It does not mean that. It means we are overcomers. We are more than conquerors. That's what the Bible says. God's word is more powerful than those things.
Faith and trust walk hand in hand. So if you've been given a vision, and you walk in faith, you got to trust that God gave you this vision and that he's going to bring it into fruition for you.
So trusting God takes the pressure off of each other. Whew. Boy, that's important. We could spend a lot of time on that. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in man, who depends on flesh for his strength." We can't do that. We can't. But when we put our trust in Jesus, then when our spouse fails or we fail, we can forgive them, we can forgive each other, and keep going on God's path. God's bigger than any challenges we face. Please, please get that in your heart. We've been through a lot of challenges. As you've been walking through this course, you know that. But God was bigger than all of those challenges.
Oh,
and as we trusted in him and went to him, and eventually then in our life we're able to go to him together, God always walked us into victory and walked us into peace and into what his plan was. He never fails. God never fails. And so we can trust him to finish what he begins.
You know, you've got to see how God sees your spouse. And if you take the time.
And accept how he sees you.
And accept how he sees you, absolutely. Write it down. Habakkuk chapter 2. Says, write the vision. Make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. So you may get this vision, but it's not quite time yet. That's where you need to keep it close to your heart. Keep it written down. But at the end, it will speak. And it will not lie. This is God's word. This is exciting stuff here. Though it tarries. You understand, though? It tarries.
Oh, it doesn't come right away.
Wait for it.
Wait for it.
Wait for it, because it'll surely come. It will not tarry. You write it down, you start speaking it out of your mouth, and then you start seeing what you're speaking. Oh, believe me, you're almost there. Believe me, you're almost there. The key word that I like is, you got to persevere. You got to persevere. You got to hang in there. You got to be tough, and know that what God has given you, because God's word is truth and life, that it will come to pass in your life.
We had gone to do some training, and there was a couple there that said God had spoken to them and given them a word for us that they wanted to share and then have us go pray about if this was from God. And we knew as we prayed about it that it was the God's faith vision for our marriage. And it's never changed over these years. Our role in the ministry has changed a number of times over the years, but the vision is the same. From Nehemiah, that God had called him to go and rebuild the wall. And so in Nehemiah chapter 4, it says in verse 6, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And in verse 14, and I looked and arose and said to the nobles, to the leaders, and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid of them. Remember the Lord, great and awesome, and fight for your brethren, your sons, your daughters, your wives, and your houses. And that's what God has called us to do, is to fight for the homes and the marriages and the children and the families, that God has such great love for. And the enemy is coming to just try and kill, steal, and destroy. But in John 10:10, Jesus said, that's what the enemy came to do. But I've come so that they'd have life and have it more abundantly. And that's just the desire of our hearts. We feel so privileged after all these years to be able to sow that into marriages and families.
We have seen lives changed and people just come alive. And that's when you know it's God. Huh? You gotta start with marriage. You know, if you start right here and you get this straight, it's gonna go to the kids. It's gonna go to the community. And it's gonna just continue to spread out. But it starts right here.
Dear Father, open our hearts. Please help us to see each other and marriage through your eyes and to agree with who you say we are and the amazing plans you have for us.
Please show us scriptures, give us words or visions, and bring it to pass for your wonderful glory.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Go to The Power of Spiritual Intimacy Part 1.